Hello and welcome to PGS
Sunday.
Neither.
That's
parental guidance suggested.
I mean, were we using up so much time telling the title of our podcast?
Now
it's down to 49 minutes and 30 seconds instead of being 51 minutes.
I felt it was punchier. Instead of a period in between each on PGS, I felt like it was an exclamation point. Or, as they used to say, the Gahooka Gamu said, PGS. I just laid some knowledge on you.
I'm still thinking that it's like saying the abbreviation for something after you've said the full word. I'm just like, now you've taken more time than it would have said to just say it and then move along. It's like having to explain the acronym. Like,
me, Jane.
Me, Tarzan.
All right, there we go. So, even though you may have heard me say Adam's seen Crazy Rich Asians, only one of the biggest movies the past 6 weeks, he hasn't.
To note, and again, I'm just saying, I do not think I was the demographic that was intended for this film.
Whatever.
However, if you will look at the second week fall off for this movie, evidently it was everyone else. Apparently in the United States, like, had the fourth smallest fall off for any film ever. Well, I mean, I guess, like, in recorded history. Maybe there were some Nickelodeons back in the day that had a better second weekend. Avatar had, like, 1% fall off. Sixth Sense had, like, a 3%. I think The Fugitive had 5%. This film fell off, like, 6.3%. And if you don't know anything about second weekend drop off, traditionally, you're looking at least a 50% drop off.
Like
if your movie opens to $30 million, your second weekend, you're probably going to make somewhere between 15 and 17, unless you just have terrible word of mouth. Like everybody's just like, don't see this. Like the 2004 Incredible Hulk had an awful second weekend. Like it was almost like 60 or 70%.
That was
Eric Bana, yeah. Ang Lee, right? But like this is on the other side of that spectrum. Like it didn't have an opening weekend like say Avatar, and I don't think Crazy Rich Asians is going to make it to $2.7 billion.
But there are a lot of. Never mind.
I know what you were about to say.
I know. Somehow it will come out wrong.
Yeah, I think it's best that we leave that one.
The demo's there. Worldwide.
Yes. It is apparently a multi-quadrant film. There we go. That's
yeah, nicely
said. You see me steer that one out of the ditch?
Yes, I did. So, yeah.
I mean, honestly, that and The Meg, the two movies that you asked me to go see that are actually doing smashingly.
Like Meg, without your help.
Meg just passed up, I think, the $100 million mark. Hmm. Like, people are having fun with it. And like I said, Crazy Rich Asians is putting up some just ridiculous like numbers and statistics. I, however, decided to go with Happy Time Murders.
Only because he couldn't find that Kevin Spacey movie, that the Billionaire Boys Club that no one else has
evidently
seen.
Like, well, it's only in, what, 10 cities?
Yeah,
and like only one person per city like went to see. So it's not like it was expanding nationwide.
If that had been in a reasonable distance, I know you would have driven to see that.
I would. Really, they'd just be like, Cookville. That's the demographic we haven't hit, guys. We can pull this thing out. We won't have a $126 weekend, but we can have a $57 second.
Why not?
Anybody?
So you saw what was the equivalent of the Billionaire Boys Club. You saw the Happy Town Murders.
Happy Time.
Happy Time.
Not Happy Town.
What did I think was Happy Town? Happy Time.
Happy Town.
Happy Time. Now, I perused a review that said the trailer was so good.
The trailer, and I
know I laughed at the trailer.
I want to preface this with saying that the film is not devoid of any kind of entertainment value. Like Melissa McCarthy, Joel McHale, Maya Rudolph, like
those people are funny.
You have some genuinely talented people, but this material does not elevate them. What I felt like I was watching was Who Framed Roger Rabbit as done through the prism of Howard the Duck.
Ooh.
Like
wow.
It is a it's not quite a noir piece like Who Framed Roger Rabbit was, but you have like these blending of different worlds. In Roger Rabbit's case, it was mm-hmm. cartoons and like kind of hard-boiled like detective novels.
Mm-hmm.
In this one, you have puppets, but they're interacting in the real world. One of them was previously a detective for... There's a lot of story involved here that honestly... It won't be worth your time if I tell you all of it. Melissa McCarthy and the puppet were partners at one point,
mm-hmm.
and now they're not. And the city doesn't care for puppets. They are second class citizens. Like mm-hmm. they make offensive like statements of. There was a way to do this movie properly.
So this had the potential to be hilarious.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying like okay. Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Great movie.
That was the correct way to do it. Like, it not only was it an interesting and at that point, like, had not been done before having the interaction between cartoons and humans on quite that mm-hmm. level. You also had the participation of Warner Brothers,
That's
Disney,
right.
Bugs Bunny, and Mickey Mouse appeared together. Like, you had this ridiculously talented cast. You had Robert Zemeckis, mm-hmm. director of Forrest Gump, Back to the Future. You had just. The talent pool of this ran deep.
And then you have
You have Happy Time Murders, which on the surface does not seem like it is devoid of any. You have Brian Henson directing it.
That is and the son of Jim Henson.
That Henson.
Mm-hmm.
He directed
knows his Muppets.
He directed Muppet Christmas Carol, which
is excellent.
Honestly, is one of the best adaptations of A Christmas Carol.
For real.
I know that sounds weird applying it to something that doesn't seem like it would carry that kind of gravitas, but you have Michael Caine in the movie. You have the Muppets before whatever has happened to them recently, like He also did, I believe, Muppet Treasure Island.
Another good
one. He participated in Muppets from Space. Like, he filled in with a lot of the characters after his father's passing. So, mm-hmm. like, this guy knows puppetry and Muppetry. Is Muppetry a word?
It is now.
Okay.
By the way, are these creatures, are they called Muppets in the context of the film?
I don't think that they are allowed to call them
okay.
Muppets, I believe Disney actually...
Ixnayed on the Uppet May.
In addition to like the X-Men, 20th Century Fox, Marvel, Pixar, everything that they own now, when they purchased the Henson Company, I don't remember the specific like incorporation it was called, I think the only thing they did not get in that were the Sesame Street characters, which PBS or some subsidiary involved with that, they maintain the rights to those characters.
Mm-hmm.
So they can't call them Muppets. And you've already got a shot against it, whereas in, like I said, Who Framed Roger Rabbit had the ability to use, like, Daffy Duck and Donald Duck famously appear in a scene together. I remember seeing that as a kid. That blew my mind.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, holy cow. Like, that was Infinity War before Infinity War, like, happened right there. You have the aforementioned Melissa McCarthy, Maya Rudolph, Joel McHale, who is a talented and funny person. Melissa McCarthy has some of the greatest comic timing,
mm-hmm.
like of any comedian, like actress, actor of, I would say, at least the
She's
last 30
funny.
Years. She's doing her best in this movie. They have been trying to get this film made since, I believe, 2008.
So somebody really believed in it.
Brian Henson did.
Yeah.
Jim Henson's son. Again, there's talent to be had there. They can't use the Muppet name or the Muppet characters because Disney wisely kept their name and characters away from this. You've really seen all the best parts
in the
preview.
Now, this is going to test us on our ability to use words.
Sure.
And to not use other words. But from what I have gathered regarding this film, the reason that it fails is it's basically the same one or two lowbrow jokes over and over.
It is shock value after shock value after shock value for the joke. The puppets are doing remarkably obscene things. And I mean, which would have been fine for a joke.
Right.
Like, I'm not, and that's why I wanted to preface it with saying, like, it's not that it's devoid of any kind of humor, But with the pedigree that you have from the cast and the director that I mentioned, like, this isn't some guy that watched, like, The Muppets.
So who wrote it?
It's the gentleman's name escapes me.
But it's one guy. It's not like a list of 15.
I think there's two names on it. Like, and there was Melissa McCarthy apparently did some polish revision that was uncredited on it. This is Jim Henson's son. So, like, I expect a little bit more from, like, seeing all of the stuff that he did. I mean, going Dark Crystal, the costumes and the characters in the first Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie. Like, the Jim Henson Company, Yoda, did some remarkable things in the late 70s and 80s. And when you're using the Henson name, which he can because
he is
a Henson, he's Jim Henson's son, I expected a lot more. And from that cast, I expected a lot more. And you can see Melissa McCarthy trying to sell this material. And a lot of times, if anybody in this movie is working properly or this aspect of the film is working, it's Melissa McCarthy.
Does she have any scenes with Joel McHale?
She does. She has.
Because that seems amusing right there.
Well, again, you're thinking Joel McHale, Melissa McCarthy.
Yeah.
That should, like,
it should be
you
funny.
Have an idea in your head of how funny that should be. And like I said, it's just, instead of doing something creative or fun, because it's a good concept. That's a funny concept, like a mature Muppet or puppet like film. There's an idea to be had. You parlay that from the buddy cop movies, like make it a parody. But all it wants to do is it's got this club, and it's obscene humor. And the joke is the puppets are doing things that are obscene that should only be done in R-rated movies, and that's fine. Once. Maybe twice if, like, you've really got a good reason to redo it, but not for an hour and a half.
Ooh, yeah.
And that's what the movie ends up becoming. Like,
so basically, it rams it down your throat repeatedly.
We're puppets, and this, we got an R rating. I did the Muppet movie, and now I can say dirty words and dirty things. That's the movie.
Okay.
And I...
So,
like, it's a good premise. It's a funny sounding premise, but like it decides to waste all of that and just try to go for something. You could do in literally any R-rated movie, any obscene R-rated, like, okay, The Hangover does a lot of obscene things, but it does not.
Okay.
Well, I'm saying, like, within the context of that movie.
I don't remember a lot of
it's
it.
It's been 10 years.
That's right.
The Hangover makes a lot of jokes that would be very adult-themed or mature. But it doesn't do the same joke over and over and over. The Hangover took what was a solid premise, an interesting premise, and they run with it. The first one, at least. I'm not a fan of the second or third one. But the first Hangover is hysterical.
Yeah.
Like, it is a legitimately funny movie. Takes a premise, and it continues to spin interesting, original things out of that premise. And that's what this movie should have done, especially if it's going to be this labor of love that somebody's tried to get made for the past 10 years. Had Jamie Foxx attached at one point, Cameron Diaz.
So, has there been any press from the stars from it? Because I have not been aware of a lot of, hey, come see this.
I think they did some test screenings for it. Or some of them probably saw a nearly like finalized cut of it, and they probably understood.
Distancing themselves?
I'm going to go ahead and tell you right now. Like, Joel McHale, I have followed him for years. When he was on Talk Soup, when he was recently on...
The Joel McHale Show with Joel McHale.
Well, yes.
I love that.
That Joel McHale.
So upset.
He was on Santa Clarita Diet.
Like, love it.
Joel McHale is a funny man.
Yes,
Joel McHale knows what's funny. And I guarantee you, when he saw this movie, he probably knew that it wasn't funny.
Now, a year or two from now, it'll be funny for him to say, remember when I made that awful decision?
Well, honestly, I think it is going to go, like, because it wasn't like a, okay, The Postman. When Warner Brothers did that, and Kevin Costner spent like $80 million of their money and didn't even break, I want to say, $10 million. And I don't mean opening weekend. I mean, I don't think it made that in its entire run. I mean, I'm not including like DVD and whatever sales in this, but like, it lost money. And I'm not even including like the advertising for that. The Postman lost money for Warner Brothers. People still talk about that because they received no return. Cutthroat Island for United Artists cost $110 million. I think it crossed $10 million. So it lost, not including, like I said, anything else, no advertising, anything, just the cost of the film. United Artists lost $100 million on that movie. These movies are famous for the amount of money that they lost. This one, I think, costs like $35, $40 million. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think anybody went bankrupt with this one, and I think it's just going to slide into obscurity, and it's going to be a Trivial Pursuit question. Maybe something like that. On top of all, it's the worst opening for Melissa McCarthy with her in a starring role.
Yes, it is. So if I were involved in this film and I received cash money for it, I would probably give a Michael Caine response if someone said, "Why'd you do that?" It's like, "Because I wanted this lovely home."
I don't want to try to defame any of the actors that are in it, because a lot of them, I have seen them. I know that they're funny. Fortune Feimster, like from Champions, Chelsea Lately and all that, she's also in it. She has another little part in there. She is funny in it.
Yes, she is.
Is the film itself funny? No. It's just it thuds when it really should be like just hitting these home runs. But it doesn't, and I don't know if that lays with the writer. I don't know if Henson was just out of his depth as a director, because I mean most of his stuff has been very PG family related stuff of that nature. I think he participated in like Muppets Tonight or the recent. I don't know if he did the recent one on ABC.
I loved that, the Muppet reboot, whichever, I don't even know what it was called.
I think
loved
it's just
it.
The Muppets.
I freaking loved that, and it was canceled, and I'm still annoyed.
I was a tremendous fan of the Muppet Show. I am very sad that the Muppets are not flourishing under Disney's direction. And I don't think it's even Disney's fault with them, because they've put them in what seemed like well-positioned, like Muppets Most Wanted. That was a funny movie.
I liked it.
Like Ricky Gervais, Tina Fey. That right there is almost a blueprint for ensuring comedy right there. Yet the film did maybe half the business that, I think, was it the Muppet movie? Or just, was it Muppet? I think it's just something very similar to like the Star Trek reboot where it was I think it was just the Muppets. It wasn't the Muppet movie.
I don't
know why they're not succeeding. I don't know if kids are used to CGI like creations. I don't know if like with the advent of Pixar, things like that, that like felt tipped socks with eyeballs on them are no longer. Maybe that was generational for me. But for whatever reason, Disney has not been able to parlay their purchase of the Muppets successfully. Now, they did show up in a Pizza Hut commercial, which I will guarantee you is not what Jim Henson had in mind when he created them.
You know, I'll be honest, I would rather go to Muppet Land than Legoland.
I love the Muppets. I love the Muppet movies.
Muppets Frog.
Muppets Take Manhattan. I'll even grant you like Muppet Treasure Island and Muppet Christmas Carol. I think they're lesser Muppet movies, but I was a huge fan of these like pretty much all through my life. And seeing a child of Henson like just,
so you're really taking this movie personally.
Oh my good! Like I watched every season of the Muppet Babies when it was on CB. Like I was the experience that some people had with Christopher Robin when they're just like, oh, I knew these characters. I grew up with these characters. Like this film just, it hits me, like it just pulls on the heartstring and makes me
cry. So it made you cry in a different way.
Yes, like this is Brian Henson, Jim Henson's, like Jim Henson, the storyteller. If you never watched that, was another Jim Henson production. I ate like to my full as a child at the table of Jim Henson.
So like, it's like they took all these great ideas, tossed them up in the air, and no good ones hit the ceiling.
No, like they just kept throwing them at the wall, and like a good booger, like maybe one of them was going to stick, and they didn't.
No.
None of them. And like they put a talented cast on it. They put a guy that knows like the Muppets inside and out.
I have a theory. There is a good version of this movie on the cutting room floor.
No.
And they just made all the wrong. No.
No. I just genuinely it instead of all the right moves, it was just all the wrong moves. I think Henson wanted to take it as far away from the impetuous that he is known for.
So it's like when a girl who's reasonable and has good grades and is a rational thinker goes out with the drug dealer.
Jesse Spano on Saved by the Bell famously did a NC-17 rated film after Saved by the Bell was over. And she did that in order to distance herself as far as she could from Saved by the Bell. Very, very cookie cutter, very wholesome, aired on Saturday morning. Like, and I don't know that even Mark Paul Gosselaar, who's probably the most famous to break out of that cast, is not still known as Zach Morris.
Elizabeth Banks?
They're pretty much every...
She's in some stripper thing?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, she did Showgirls that did Basic Instinct.
Okay.
Just a lot of... Probably the wrong decision for her to make, but she needed to erase Jesse Spano from every... That's what she wanted to do.
Okay.
And I think in doing so, she ran into like the wrong thing. Like Mark Paul Gosselaar, he's done like different kinds of like dramatic work. He's done action movies. He's done a lot of law related stuff. I believe he was on a season of NYPD Blue.
Sure.
Mark Paul Gosselaar was running away from Zach Morris. He wasn't like his hair wasn't like platinum blonde. He correctly ran away from that character. And I don't know that he ever got away from him, but he's had a successful career.
Unlike, let's say, Screech.
Wow. Yes. I just Google Dustin Diamond. I don't want to go into all of it, but Dustin Diamond made probably worse decisions than Elizabeth Berkley. Was that her name?
That's the name I was
Elizabeth
thinking
Berkley.
Of.
She made some bad decisions. Screech, or Dustin Diamond, as his name is.
Actually,
made even worse decisions. Like, wow. Just wow.
Well, okay. So you're saying don't run out to see Happy Time Murders in the theater.
I will, not only is it not essential, it will probably almost bastardize your memory, especially when you know how intimately, the director was involved in the Muppet work in the last 20 years, 20, 30 years. Like, it sullies that in my mind to a certain degree. Like, I don't mind taking things and putting I don't want to say adult spin, because I think that's the wrong adjective there, a more mature spin on things. Like, I've read comic books that I read as a child that I now read as an adult, that you'll put a writer like Garth Ennis or someone like that that has a very mature take on it, but it's not to the point that I think it sullies the source material or hurts my memory of those things. And this movie kind of punches me in the childhood.
Wow.
It sucker punches me in the childhood, and while I am gasping for my breath, it gives me a bloody nose.
Okay. So, you didn't have a good time at the movie.
I wanted to. I said,
if you'd just seen Crazy Rich Asians, but you didn't.
No,
I
was waiting for Reasonable
Whatever.
Rich Asians.
Nope.
Or Reasonable Poor Asians.
You made the wrong decision.
Oh, wow.
You made the Elizabeth Berkley choice.
Stamped with that. But okay. It's apt. It's apt.
You know, you should have made the Sulu approach and seen.
And Melissa McCarthy, she's a talented.
I know.
Go back and watch Bridesmaids. Holy
hilarious.
Cow. She is hysterical in that movie. Look at roughly anything Joel McHale has done.
Hilarious.
Go back and look at Maya Rudolph on Saturday Night Live. She is a gifted comedian.
Mm-hmm.
None of that is apparent in this movie. Maybe you get spurts of it, bursts of it.
Okay.
But for the most part, it's an hour and a half that you can't get back.
That is my husband's take on virtually any movie with Owen Wilson, with the exception of The Fantastic Mr. Fox, and Will Ferrell, with the exception of Megamind.
That's the one he's not a fan of, like Anchorman or...
No.
I'm going to assume Anchorman 2, probably not.
No.
Step Brothers?
Oh, God,
is he
no.
not going to see Holmes and Watson when it comes out this Christmas? Because you bet I am.
And you see,
I'm going to be showing up to that dressed as Sherlock Holmes. Like, I am in like Flint on that.
I am all about Sherlock Holmes.
Daddy's home. You and I discussed that.
Yeah, funny stuff.
Will Ferrell is hysterical. He has three best of volumes from Saturday Night Live. Do you know how many other people have three best of volumes?
He doesn't think he's funny. Now, here's the thing. For, in some cases, I do genuinely agree with him. However, he's one of those guys that much like Adam Sandler, I just like them, and I like them on talk shows. Even if I don't care for what they produce, I like them, and I think they're funny people.
Like, when he was doing the stuff for Anchorman 2, when he was showing up as Ron Burgundy, like, he wasn't going on promoting the movie as Will Ferrell, and, like, maybe slipping into Ron. No, he was showing up dressed as Ron Burgundy. I mean, he was Andy Kaufman, like,
yeah,
ing these things.
Yeah, not funny to him. So,
I don't...
Anyway, I did not find The Wedding Crashers funny in any way. I thought it was a ponderous waste of my time.
I think Vince Vaughn is a talented actor and comedian. I don't think... I didn't understand how that film did the business that it did.
I know, yeah. It's like... Maybe.
If it would have turned like, you know, done like, you know, $50, $60 million, I would have got that. I'd been like, okay, I'll give you that. Like, it ain't my cup of tea, but it was somebody. But it made like 200 some odd
uh-huh.
million
People
dollars.
People are talking about it like it's Animal House or something worth your time.
And like, I mean, it has moments, but
yeah.
like I was just.
I know. And I know, just like you and I judge people, if they don't find Ghostbusters funny, there's clearly something wrong with them. Duh.
If you don't like Will Ferrell. Just saying.
Now, Jim does like him on talk shows.
That's strange. That he
and he thinks Megamind is great, as do I. I was just rewatching Megamind.
That's odd that that's
Spider.
The movie he picks.
Maybe it's because he can't see him. I don't know.
It's somehow like just it's a block. It's a mental block for him.
Could
as soon
be.
As he sees him, he's just like, ooh, yeah, <Ferrell." laughs>
But Owen Wilson is above that. He really is agitated, except for
his Wes
the
Anderson
dog thing, Marley.
Is he a fan of Royal Tenenbaums?
Oh, no. Like, No.
So it's not even a Wes Anderson thing. It's just, you said, what was it? Fantastic Mr. Fox was the only?
Yeah, he has a very minor role. And again,
that's probably
can't see
why.
Him.
I think we figured it out.
Okay, now we
that's
know.
That's how like we'll get the pill in the dog food for Jim. Like, we'll just be like, here, I need you to watch this movie. But by watch, I mean I want you to hear the audio, and we're going to do it
exactly
with puppets. And you'll be like, this is exceptional. I'll be like, boo! Oh, you'll be like, boom! I gotcha. That's Will Ferrell.
That will be awesome. Okay, so a hard pass on Happy Time Murders. And...
It is not a happy time. It is very. It feels like murder.
And maybe Adam will see the movies he was supposed to see. We'll see.
aren't they re-releasing 2001: A Space Odyssey?
No,
back
they are
into,
not. No,
I think they are.
Not.
It's the
no.
yeah. It's like the
no.
They're doing an IMAX.
Even
release
if they
or
do,
something?
You can't go see it. Hard pass. Happy Time Murders, and go see why the Asians are crazy and rich and funny. I want to know.
I don't have a choice.
Wouldn't it be hilarious if the crazy rich Asians and the storyline from The Meg converged?
You mean they did like a crossover movie?
Like Crazy Rich Megs?
Like for some reason, at the very end of the movie, the Meg attacks the crazy rich
yes.
Asians. Yeah, I think that's plausible.
Okay.
That's definitely what happens.
I would see that.
There's no reason why that shouldn't happen.
I would definitely see that. Okay, next week there'll be a new parental guidance suggested. And thank you for making us ever so popular.
Not PGS!
Sunday.
Let us never speak of that again.
I'm still happy.
You'll
I did
pay
it.
For the whole seat, but you're only going to need the edge. All right, now it's out of my system.
Okay.
I had to get that out.
Thanks ever for listening. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.